Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger or naked and welcomed you or gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I have to admit, you may be surprised, that I was not exactly excited to preach on this text. These texts that seem full of judgment are not fun for preachers, mostly, partly because it's difficult to preach something like that to all of you that we care about, but also because it requires wrestling with these texts for ourselves. As I was reading through this past couple weeks, I kept having that question in the back of my mind. Would I be a sheep? Would I be judged righteous? I mean, I have done all the things. I've served at food pantries and soup kitchens. I've donated like mittens to mitten trees. I've helped staff homeless shelters. I've even done a Bible study at a state penitentiary. So I can really check off all of the boxes. But for all the times that I have done those things, there's also millions of times that I have not done those things. I feel like maybe the ratio of serving others to not serving others should maybe be a little higher to earn the designation of righteous here. Am I a goat? And so as I was wrestling with this text, the more I thought about it, the more I think that this is not a literal description of judgment at end times. I think it's more like a parable. Because parables, one of the hallmarks of a parable is that surprising twist at the end, something that makes us think, something that is unexpected. And there is a lot of surprise in this parable. First, from those judged as goats, those deemed unrighteous, when Jesus says, "You did not serve me." They say, "Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or sick, and we did not help you?" They do not say, "You're right. We messed up. We did a bad job." They are expecting that they would be judged righteous. They thought they had done well in their lives. But also their surprise on the part of the sheep, those judged righteous, as Jesus says, "This is the ways that you have served me." They go exactly back through the same list. "When did we do that? When did we do that?" Saying, "God, we didn't do any of these things. Maybe you should put us over there. I don't know." They are also surprised at this judgment, this unexpected twist. It reminds me a little bit of one of my freshman classes in college, where we were reading books and then writing papers about them. And I remember turning one in, thinking like, "This is really great work." And I got it back with a B minus on it. And for previously straight A perfectionist freshman Bridget, that was devastating. So later in the semester, I turn in a different paper, and it was pretty bad. It was not great. I remember melodramatically saying to a friend, like, "I can't even look my professor in the eye as I turn this in." But I got it back, and it had an A minus on it. I was so confused. What was going on here? And so I went and I talked to my professor to see what the deal was. And as it turns out, she was just different than the teachers that I had had in high school. Her priorities were different, and her expectations were not what I was used to. And so in talking to her, I was able to change the way I wrote papers to better experience the ways that she was expecting. I think, in a way, this parable from Jesus is also helping us revise our expectations as Jesus lays out God's priorities for living in this new, different kingdom that is breaking into our world, where the priorities are not just checking all the boxes. Perhaps this parable is aimed at the religious elite of the day, those who could be considered holier than thou. Perhaps the ones who prayed loudly on street corners, who gave money ostentatiously, who fasted with their sackcloth and ashes, who worshiped zealously, who did all the right things at all the right times and were checking all the boxes. But Jesus says that's not where God's priorities lie. That's not what God is expecting. There's no love. There's no compassion. There's no mercy here. Perhaps Jesus is aiming this parable at the ordinary people of the Roman Empire, those who could be considered good citizens, the ones who pay their taxes and uphold the status quo, who unthinkingly support all of their leaders, who pledge allegiance to Caesar. And while this may get them in the good graces of the empire, these are not what God is asking for. This is not how to live into being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So what then do we do as people who live in this new empire breaking forth? Well, Jesus lays out these guidelines, this call for us to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to visit those in prison. As the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love, not by our grasp on doctrine, not by our memorization of Scripture, but by the ways that we show mercy to others, the ways that we have compassion on the vulnerable. This is a new reign by a new ruler, one who does not rule from the top down, but who rules from the underside, whose power is shown through weakness, who cares for us and calls us to care for others, who is present in the least of these and knows our deepest needs. I saw this God reigning in the life of a woman named Martha. I met Martha while I was on internship last year in Bradenton, Florida. Martha had a rough life. She struggled with addiction and with homelessness. At one point, she was in prison 17 times over the course of 5 years. But eventually, she found the one-stop center, our place where people can seek help for finding shelter, for finding food, counseling, all of these things that people need. And she went there and she found the help that she also needed. The church that I worked for last year loved helping the one-stop center. We would donate money and clothes. We would coordinate volunteers, in part because we loved Martha's story. Because it didn't end when she received help. After she became sober and had a stable housing situation, she came back, first as a volunteer and then as an employee, and gradually became the manager of the entire program, a passionate advocate for people who were in the same situation that she had been, serving others in the way that she had been served. And this, then, is life in this new reign of God. Receiving care and then passing it along to others, reveling in this free gift of God's love, and then passing that gift on to others who need it as well. Seeing this strange and unexpected God from the underside in the vulnerable, where God seems absent, knowing that that is where God is present, in those who hunger and thirst in our own communities and also in our own deepest needs, in those naked around the world and also in our own secret vulnerabilities, in the parts of our lives that seek shelter and also in the homeless that we see around us. This is the God that we see. This is the reign that is breaking through into this world. The more that we live into this reign, the more comfortable we become there, perhaps the more uncomfortable we may become with the empire that we do live in the world as it is, the more we learn about the world as it could be. But we will keep gathering and listening and learning and seeking, because we yearn for this ruler, this God with us and among us, one of us, this God who calls us, who invites us, this God who never stops loving us. Thanks be to God.